Good morning, church. This week's Bible reading is from the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 10. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that ship threatened to break up. Then the mariner were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down, was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." Verse 7. And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the man knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them, "This is the word of the Lord."
Thank you, Eric. Can I have my welcome to that of Henry's? It's wonderful to see you all. We are beginning a new series this morning in the book of Jonah. We looked at the book of Jonah in Holiday Bible Club recently, and people, if you were in Gospel Kids, then they looked at it in Gospel Kids as well. So I thought it'd be good if the children have been looking at this, that we get on board as well. It is a wonderful book, and hopefully as we look through it, we will see how relevant it is to our lives today. Now, what is the book of Jonah about? Every book of the Bible is about God, and Jonah's no different. Every book of the Bible is about Jesus and his way of salvation, and Jonah's no different. But how do we see God and salvation in the book of Jonah? What is the book of Jonah all about? Well, the book of Jonah is all about Jonah, which might sound pretty obvious, but actually the book of Isaiah isn't about Isaiah. The book of Malachi isn't about Malachi, but the book of Jonah is all about Jonah. And in that sense, it's unusual. You see, Jonah is written in a satirical, ironic way. Jonah is held up as an anti-hero, someone we're meant to be laughing at. Bit like David Brent at The Office or Homer Simpson from The Simpsons. Jonah may even have been written by Jonah many years after this incident, and he's poking fun at himself as he writes the book. You see, we're meant to look at Jonah and laugh at him, because what Jonah says with his lips is very different than the way he lives in his life. And in that sense, he is the ultimate example of a very religious person. Sometimes the comments made about religious people and the words used, hypocrisy. Because a person may say certain things with their lips about what they believe, but their life evidences something very different. Well, that is what is going on in the book of Jonah. And as we read the book of Jonah, and as we look at Jonah, we're meant to ask ourselves, is that me? Am I like Jonah? In what ways am I like Jonah? Well, this morning we're going to look at verses 1 to 10. And verses 1 to 10 of the book of Jonah are all about sin. Now, sin gets quite a bad press nowadays. It's not a popular topic. It's not a popular topic to look at in churches. Churches don't like to talk about it, but we need to talk about sin because if we're going to be delivered and saved from our sins, we need to have an understanding of what sin actually is. And there's four things about sin that we see here from what Jonah does in these verses. Jonah hears, Jonah runs, Jonah sleeps, and Jonah fears. Jonah hears, Jonah runs, Jonah sleeps, and Jonah fears. First of all, Jonah hears. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Now, Jonah was an 8th century BC prophet who preached in the northern kingdom of Israel. Israel at the time was divided into two kingdoms, the north and the south. He was in the northern kingdom, and he's mentioned in 2 Kings 14 as a preacher who preached the expansion of Israel under King Jeroboam II. Jeroboam II reigned for about 40 years in Israel, and the kingdom of Israel became very prosperous. He was a good military leader, a good economic leader, and the northern kingdom expanded to become as big as Israel in the north had been. And Jonah was preaching the expansion of Israel. He was a pro-Israelite, nationalistic preacher with quite a good message to preach. And, of course, the nation at the time was successful and very comfortable. And God's word came to him. Now, that word is used to describe the call of a prophet. It's the way that prophets were called to conduct their ministry. It's the way anybody's called. It's the way you and I are called. How are we called? It's by God's word coming to us through the Bible, through a preacher, through someone telling us the good news of Christ. And the word of God comes to Jonah with a commission, with a mission that God wants him to do. This isn't his calling to be a prophet, it's his calling to be a prophet to do a certain thing. And what's he called to do? He's called to be a missionary to Nineveh. Arise, God says, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Now, this is a surprising call. When God called Abraham, he said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you that you might be a blessing to all the nations in the world. And your descendants will be a blessing. The Israelites will be a blessing to all the nations in the world. But though that was the case, it's very rare for a prophet in the Old Testament to be sent to non-Israelites to tell them about God. And that's the mission that Jonah's been sent on. And it's a challenging mission. Nineveh was quite a way away from Israel. It was in what is modern-day Iraq. And he was sent to that city. It's called a great city because it was important to God. And it was a city which would have sent shivers down the back of Israelites at the mention of its name. You see, Assyria was a great superpower in Jonah's day, and the way it exerted its authority and the way it expanded was through brutal, merciless military campaigns. They used to do horrifying things to their enemies, and then they used to put images of what they did on the walls of their palaces. You can see some of those things in the British Museum in London today. And so they got this reputation of being a brutal nation. They were also a nation that oppressed Israel. And for years before Jonah, became a prophet, Israel had to pay them a tax because to keep them off their backs. Now, it's to that city that Jonah has been called to preach. A city which was evil because he was sinful. But a city also which had experienced some misery and some disappointments in recent years. And God looks at that city and says, I want you to go and preach to that city, to call out against that city, to tell them that I love them, that they might repent of their sins and come back to me. You see, God looks at the wickedness of Nineveh. God looks at the misery of Nineveh. God looks at this city and has compassion on it. You know, that's the first thing that we see in the book of Jonah is the character of God. God is a gracious and a compassionate God. He looks at bad people doing bad things, people who've experienced difficulty and trouble, maybe because of the bad things they've done, maybe these are just things that have happened to them, and he loves those people. And he wants those people to turn away from their sins and to turn back to him. That's the sort of God he is. God is a God who doesn't want to destroy people's lives, but wants people to know his grace and love, that their lives might be transformed. That's what Jonah hears from God. But second, Jonah runs. We're told this, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah, the prophet, the preacher of God, runs away from God. He runs away from God's word. God says, arise and go to Nineveh. And Jonah arises and goes to Tarshish. Now, Nineveh is north and east of Israel. Tarshish is west of Israel, across the sea, at the end of the known world at the time. He's going in exactly the opposite direction. Instead of going to Nineveh, the command to go to Nineveh is so unacceptable to Jonah that he flees in exactly the opposite direction, spends a lot of money on a one-way ticket on an ocean liner to get as far away from God's call as possible. He doesn't want any part in God's mission. He's saying to himself, God can get another prophet, another preacher to go to Nineveh, but he's not going to get me. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to avoid God's word. But he also runs from God's grace. When it talks about him running from the presence of the Lord, which is repeated a couple of times, that word presence literally means the face of God. Jonah's not fleeing from God's presence because Jonah knows that he can't do that. He's going to say in a few verses' time that God is everywhere. God's the God of heaven and earth. God's the God of the land and the sea. How can you run away from God? You can't run away from God. Where can you go from his presence? You can't go anywhere because God is everywhere. But he's running away from his face. That is, he's running away from his blessing, his favor. That's what it means for God to look at you and you to face him. It means that you stand under God's favor, God's grace, God's acceptance. He's running away from God's blessing. He doesn't want to live joyfully before God. And so the question is, why does Jonah, the prophet, run away from God? What's going on? Well, Jonah runs away from God because Jonah has a wrong view of sin. You see, Jonah defines sin as doing bad things. And so he looks at Nineveh, these brutal, oppressive people, and says, they are sinners, they are bad people. I'm not going to go and tell them about God's love. They should be punished by God. They shouldn't have an opportunity to turn away from their sins and be forgiven and accept God's love. God should be punishing bad people. God should be blessing good people. God should be punishing bad people. They are bad people. God should punish them. I'm not going to go and get involved in telling them that God loves them and God's going to forgive them if they turn from their sins. And so he runs away from God. But there's such irony here. Because what actually is sin? Sin, according to the Bible, is hearing God's word and disobeying it. It is being in God's presence and then running away from him. That's what Adam and Eve do in the Garden of Eden. God says, don't do this, they do it. And then they run away from God. See, sin is, in essence, running away from God. And so the question is, who in this story is running away from God? It's Jonah. It's Jonah, the good, clean, living man. It's Jonah, the religious man. It's Jonah, the preacher. See, what Jonah has forgotten and what we often forget is that there are two ways to sin. Two ways to run away from God. One way to run away from God is to be really bad and to break all the rules. That's what the Ninevites were doing. Killing people. Sleeping with people they're not married to. Stealing things. Lying. Cheating. Living as they please. You can run away from God by doing that. Or you can run away from God by being really good. By keeping all the rules. By being really religious and coming to church and saying your prayers and being a good person. And that's what Jonah was doing. And the focus of the story here is Jonah, not the Ninevites. And the reason he's the focus of the story, you know, Jonah's name means dove. And the dove was the symbol of Israel. And so Jonah here is also representing Israel as well as himself. And Jonah's the focus of the story because the best thing that you could possibly do if you want to run away from God, this is a secret now, but it's a secret which Jonah's telling us. If you want to run away from God, the best thing that you can possibly do is to be really, really, really good. It's to live a really, really good life. It's to go out from church today, live a really good life this week, and then next week to come to church or to come to a church that tells you that Christianity is all about being good, and then leave church patting yourself on the back because you've been really good and you've been really religious. And of course, God must accept you because you're a really good person. That is the number one way to run away from God. Because you don't really ultimately need God if you're a really, really good person. Because the only people who need God, the only people who need a savior, are people who are sinners. And if you're not a sinner, then why do you need a savior? You don't. Why do you need God? You don't. You can do things, you can do life all by yourself because you're a good person. That's what Jonah's like. That's what Israel was like. And that's the greatest danger for religious people as well. You see, the greatest danger for religious people is not going out and doing something radically bad and living an awful life. The danger is being really good and resting in your goodness and thinking that God accepts you because you're good. You see, that's what it means to run away from God, and that's what Jonah was doing. There's a third thing we see. We see Jonah not just running away from God, but Jonah sleeping. We're told that Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. You see, the consequence of him running away from God is that he went to sleep at the bottom of the boat. Now, maybe he went to sleep because he was exhausted. He'd gone to Joppa and just so happened to find a ship going in the opposite direction to where God had said. You know, sometimes we can do that in life. We can find that circumstances just happen to come together so that we can disobey God. We should never use that as an excuse to do so. He goes down to the bottom of this ship and falls asleep, maybe because of exhaustion or maybe out of relief. Maybe he's got a peace that he didn't have because he's run away from God. Do you know, I read a story recently about a Christian who was running away from God, and he'd stopped going to church, stopped reading his Bible, stopped praying, and he still lives a really good life, but he said, "I feel a real peace now." And I thought to myself, of course you feel a real peace because you're spiritually asleep. I think Jonah's physical sleep here is a picture of his spiritual state. He's asleep spiritually. He's turned his back on God and has a peace because there's no spiritual battle anymore in his life. He's living his life his way, wanting to do his thing. But God won't let him do that. God is such a loving and a gracious and a compassionate God that God loves Jonah. He loves the Ninevites, bad as they are. He loves Jonah, good as he is, relying on his goodness. And so he sends a great storm. The Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. See, God will not let Jonah run away from him. And so when the boat has not gone far, God sends a storm, as if to say, you are not going any further away from me, Jonah. I'm going to prevent you from running away from me. I want to draw you back to myself. You see, God loves us so much, God loves Jonah so much, that he's unwilling to let Jonah destroy himself. And he sends a storm into his life to stop that happening. Do you know, that can happen That happens time and again. We've seen recently from the book of Genesis the story of Joseph. And Joseph, as a teenager, was a proud and a privileged young man. And what did God do? He sent storms into his life. Ended up as a slave, ended up in prison. And God changed him through that. God saved him from himself through these circumstances, through these storms, to become a humble person. To become a person who really loved God and who really loved others. So, you know, I've spoken to people time and again who've said, you know, I was going away from God and then I got ill. And he just brought me up short. And he made me reconsider my relationship with God. Or I was running away from God and then God broke that relationship in my life. And it was really painful, but God brought me up short. So that I'd have to reconsider my relationship with him. Or I was doing really well in life, and then God, I ended up losing my job. And God brought me up short. So that I'd have to reconsider my relationship with him. That's what's happening here. God throws a storm into Jonah's life to say, you are not running away from me. I will not let you go. I love you, Jonah. And the way God tries to waken him up, he stops him through the storm and then tries to waken him up through pagan sailors. The mariners were afraid and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship. He'd lain down, was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise. Call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." Jonah's still asleep in the middle of this storm. And so the captain has to go to him, give him a good kick, and wake him up. And what does he say to him? What's the first words he says to him? "Arise and call out." It's exactly the same words that God says to him back in verse 2. He's calling, arise, call out. It's like he wakes up, does Jonah, and the captain gets in his face and he hears the word of God again to him. That's how much God loves him. He wants to hear his word. He will not let him run away from it. And he will even use the mouths of pagan sailors to speak to him. See, Jonah's supposed to be a man of prayer, and it's the sailors who are praying. He's supposed to be a missionary, and it's the sailors who are speaking to him about God, not him to them. You know, the world judges the church at times because the church does not know what it's doing. What should the church be doing? Praying. That's what Jonah should be doing. That's what the church should be doing. What else should the church be doing? It should be telling people about God's love and grace. That's what Jonah should have been doing. That's the business of the church. That's the business of Jonah. And sometimes the world has to call the church back to do what it's supposed to be doing. And yet the irony is, even with the captain of the sailors in Jonah's face, he's not turning back. The irony, of course, is that it's the sailors who begin to turn to God through this storm. You see, they see this wonder, this awful storm, and they want to get right with the God who brings it. Well, Jonah sleeps. That's the result of sin, but also Jonah fears. At least that's what Jonah says he does. Jonah says, I fear God. He says that in answer to the sailors' questions. In verses 7 and 8, the sailors ask Jonah a series of questions. They say to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So either they threw some dice or they picked some straws. They realize that this storm was not usual. Maybe it'd been a clear day when they set out from port. They hadn't gone far from port because they tried to get back to land, so we know it can't have been too far. They knew that this thing wasn't an accident. And so they said, well, who's to blame? Who's the sinner, as it were, in the boat? And the lot falls to Jonah. And so the sailors playing with questions. They say, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What's your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? The sailors ask about Jonah's purpose. What are you doing? Jonah's place. Where are you from? And Jonah's people. What nation do you belong to? These are identity questions that they're asking. And Jonah pulls out his identity card. And when you see his identity card, you see that Jonah is not who he claims to be. You see, he says, verse 9, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land. See, that's his response. That's who he says his identity is. We all have an identity in life, and this is who he says. He says, this is my identity. This is who I really am. And in his response, we see that his identity is shallow. Because if you look at the questions, he's answering the last question first. He's saying, I am a Hebrew, and I fear God. If he's really a believer in God, if he's really somebody who loves God, shouldn't that be first in your answer? I'm a believer, and I also come from this nation. He does it the other way around. Why? Because his identity really isn't as a believer. It's as a Hebrew. His nation is what identifies him, not his faith. But you might be like somebody today saying, you know, I'm English and a member of the Church of England. Or I'm Polish and I'm Catholic. Or I'm Scottish and I'm Presbyterian. Identifying himself first and foremost with his nation, not with his God. He's a prophet. He's a believer. And yet his faith is shallow. His race, his nationality means more to him than his faith. He should be saying, I'm a believer in the God of heaven and earth who loves me and has saved me, and I'm also from this nation. That's what it means to be a true believer. But not only is his faith shallow, his faith is self-deceived. He says he fears the God of heaven and earth, and his life shows exactly the opposite. You see, he doesn't live like a believer. What does it mean to fear God? To fear God simply means, it means to have an ongoing relationship with him. That's what it means to fear God. It's to know God, to know his love, to know his power, and to walk with him. That's what he means in the Bible. And what's Jonah doing? He's running as far away from that God as he can possibly get. He says he believes that God is all-powerful, but he's running away from him. Later on, he's going to say that he believes that God is all-loving, and he hates his love. He's got a wrong view of himself. He's also got a wrong view of these pagans. He doesn't talk to these Gentile pagan sailors because he's like, well, they are sinners. They're running away from God, but actually, he's the one who's doing it. And he's running away from God because God is a God of great love and great compassion. He's self-deceived. You see, there's all the difference in the world between knowing, between loving God and knowing that God loves you. If you'd have asked Jonah, do you love God? He'd say, of course I love God. You know, I'm a good person. Of course I love God. I'm a religious person. I say my prayers. I serve at church. Of course I love God. In fact, I'm a minister. I'm a preacher. I'm one of the, you know, I'm one of the central pillars of the church. Of course I love God. But there's a whole difference in the world between claiming to love God and knowing that God loves you. And Jonah doesn't know that. That's why he's running away. He doesn't want to show mercy to the Ninevites because he doesn't know God's mercy himself. He doesn't speak to the Gentile pagans about God's love because he doesn't know the love himself. And the question for you and me is, do you know God's love? That's the question that hits us this morning. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you on the cross? That God was willing to send his son into the ultimate storm of his anger and wrath on the cross to pay for your sins. All the ways you've run away from him by being bad, but all the ways you've run away from him by being good and relying on yourself. He died on the cross for those things so that you can be forgiven, so that you can be right with God again, not on the basis of trying to live a good life and pull your socks up, but on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's how much God loves you. Do you know that love? Do you know that God loves you and will never let you go and never wants you to run away? Do you know what it is to live before the face of God? A God who loves you and blesses you and wants to show you grace upon grace. See, that's what Christianity is all about. That's what faith in the Old Testament is all about. It's not about you trying hard to get God's love. It's about knowing that God loves you and living in light of that. See, Jonah didn't see that. He didn't know that. He hadn't experienced that. The question for you and me this morning is, have you? Are you fleeing from the presence of the Lord because you're afraid of his love? Afraid he's a gracious and compassionate God? You want a God who punishes bad people and does good to good people, but a God of grace and compassion, it's more complex. You can't put that kind of God in your pocket like Jonah wants to do. Let me ask, do you know God's love for you? Have you seen Jesus Christ die for you on the cross? And is that changing your life, making you a gracious and compassionate person because you know the gracious and compassionate God? Let me pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are a gracious and a compassionate God who loves us and has sent your son to die for us. Lord, help us not to run away from you. Help us not to be a Jonah by running away from your grace and love and thinking that you like us because we're good people. And by relying upon our good behavior and our religious performance, help us to realize that's not what it's about. It's not about trying to love you. It's about knowing your love for us. But help us to know that today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.